What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 20 of the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast, where we kind of geek out and talk about everything tech, everything computer hardware. This episode is brought to you by Amazon. That is kind of where we buy all of our PC hardware. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon, that kind of helps us out and keeps this podcast going. With me this week, I have Derek, who took a week off last week. We had Jack on last week. So, Derek, welcome back. And how was your little – you took a little vacation?
Yeah, just a little 4th of July camping trip. So I wasn't able to be at the podcast, unfortunately. But I'm back this week, ready to go.
Did you were telling me that you had no phone signal or something.
Yeah, I was, like, apparently in the middle of nowhere. It was really weird. There was absolutely, like, no service, and I was like, this isn't right. I need to leave.
You couldn't keep up with social media.
Yeah, seriously. Anything. I'm like, how am I going to post updates if I'm out in the middle of nowhere?
It's so weird sometimes, like, you know, I'll go on these trips or, like, especially, like, when I drive down to D.C., you know, there's certain parts, like, when you're driving where you have no service, and you're like, what am I supposed to do? And especially, like, a lot of times, like, I like to listen to podcasts, or I'll listen to, you know, like, Spotify or something like that obviously requires me to have connection. Yeah. And then when that drops out, I'm like, well, I have to listen to just the music that's just on my phone? What?
There's only like 7 songs on here.
Yeah, so it's like, it's so weird because we live in this day and age where like you're always connected, you know, like you always have the ability to go on Facebook or, you know, or whatever. And it's just like, it's so weird to be disconnected completely.
The weirdest thing was I kept wanting to, like, you know, you're sitting there. I wanted to pull out my phone and, like, look at something, you know, like, just, you know, check updates and stuff. And I'm like, oh, I can't do that. What do I do with myself now? Yeah, it's weird because you also think that you're not one of those people.
But and you're
like, nope, I'm totally one of those people.
Yeah, that's kind of how it is. Like, you don't think you are, but you – unless you're, like, keeping yourself busy doing something, like something else, like if you're camping or whatever, like – you are one of those people because it's such a habit these days.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But we'll jump in to what we did this week. And you had a review. Our first review this week is the Deepcool Captain 240 liquid CPU cooler. So this is Deepcool's 240mm radiator liquid all-in-one liquid cooling solution, and for you it didn't really work out too well, and I'm sure you can talk about how or the reasons why it didn't really work out.
So this is kind of it's like a like a kind of an art thing for them, sort of like along with like their Trident case. It's like this really crazy like steampunk design. It's been out for a little while now, and I was actually kind of excited to review it, like, just because it's different, you know. But unfortunately, the one we got, it came with the thermal paste was completely screwed up on the base of it, so there was no way to use it. I don't know if that happened because it was taken out during customs or, you know, if it was kinda, just put in there bad. Yeah.
I think they have issues with customs because I just got in their Assassin 2. And it was like, it, you know, when you get a product, like, you can kind of tell that it's been opened.
Yeah.
Like, this, it definitely felt like it was opened.
Okay. Yeah, everything they send is, it's shipped a little oddly, to be honest. Like, it's wrapped in paper and then completely wrapped in tape and stuff.
Yeah.
That I get, at least.
Yeah, so I don't know if they have any issues with customs, and it's like, I don't think, maybe, like, I think they're worse at getting it sent directly. Like, a lot of companies who are based overseas, they get like Newegg or one of their distributors to send it to us.
Oh, okay.
I think that Deepcool is sending it directly.
Yeah, I believe they are.
And I think that has a lot of issues with customs. But go back into talking about the product.
Yeah, so the thermal paste was messed up on it. And so I used just some kind of generic Cooler Master stuff that you can get on Amazon. And when I tested it, it didn't test very well. I believe it was actually one of our worst testing AIO coolers. It performed along the lines of like a 120, like, and not even a really good 120. So it was a little disappointing. We are, however, getting a new one from Deepcool, so we're going to be retesting it and seeing what we can do with it that way. They felt that the performance was lower than what it was capable of, so we'll give it another shot. Overall, though, obviously, I really like the aesthetics. The fans are really, really nice. They're like fully rubber shrouded, so complete vibration dampening. They just feel solid when you hold them. It's a really nice fan. I've reviewed Deepcool AIOs before, and I found the same. I don't know if it's overspray of the paint or if it's poor machining or poor match between the hardware they're purchasing, but like the screws don't fit well into the radiator, so I actually ended up snapping off one of the screws, so I didn't like that too much. But otherwise, it's pretty easy installation. They're pretty nice coolers, I guess. We'll see when for performance wise, because that's really the key. And then,
Yeah.
yeah, and then on the other thing that they don't do that most of them are like intelligent. AIOs now, especially their flagship, so they'll have like some software with them. And this one didn't come with anything like that. It was just a standard, I don't even know how you would describe it. Just
Yeah, I
plug it
feel
in.
that's kind of weird these days because, I mean, we all know Corsair does it. NCXT also does it. I'm not sure. I don't know who else makes AIOs. Those are like the two big ones.
TT, they don't do it. Yeah, I actually I'm presuming that the next line of TT
Yeah.
AIOs will have it, to be
I
honest.
know
If they don't,
Thermaltake does. I have a Thermaltake cooler. I have the Water 3.0 Extreme that has the software.
maybe I'm just remembering incorrectly,
Yeah,
but
the water the 2.0 line didn't, but the Water 3.0 line for sure
okay,
does.
yeah, because I definitely tested that one. I
Yeah.
just don't remember using it then.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is pretty much standard, and if we're not gonna call it standard, it should be standard. It's the like next level for controlling things.
Yeah, I felt that was kind of weird at this day and age. And I mean, this cooler isn't old. I mean, it had been out for a little bit, but it's not old in the sense that it's been out for like a year or something like that. You know what I mean?
No, like it came out after Corsair and the others had implemented theirs, so
Yeah.
it's probably more expensive to develop. I don't know if that's the issue.
Yeah, but I don't know who actually. I mean, obviously Deepcool isn't designing this. I mean, they might design it, but the
Yeah.
actual, it's either like usually it's either Aztec or Cooler Master who actually own
Yeah,
help design
the
that.
patent for it.
And I know Aztec, they design all the for the most part all the Corsair ones and stuff. So it's in there, and it's not something that's super hard to implement, really.
I don't think they're working with those companies though. But just based on their claims for like the design, the pump design and stuff.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be proprietary to Deepcool.
Okay. Well.
So I mean, there might be a Chinese manufacturer that we're not unfamiliar with.
Yeah, that
Like,
could be it too.
but
But yeah, it's kind of disappointing. But another thing too that we do have to think about is that, thermal paste can make a difference. A lot of people don't think that it can as far as performance. But if you,
yeah.
there was a time when I was testing coolers and stuff and using like a higher end thermal paste, like what is it, Arctic Silver, compared to like something more generic,
Yeah, like a ceramic.
you could see like a 5 degree difference, really. So I mean,
Yeah.
that could make a difference, but hopefully the one that we get in will not be all messed up like this one. I mean, that's a customs issue, obviously, I feel.
Yeah. If not, then it's a quality control issue on their part.
But yeah, I mean, it does seem like it is a custom system just because the cooler that I just got felt like it was opened as well.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much everything I get from them feels like it's been gone through. Hopefully the performance increases.
So they're gonna send us another one. And again, if it was opened or something like that, I don't know, but it's something internally could have been damaged as well. You don't really know when it
Yep.
comes to these type of things, so we'll see. But I do like the way the cooler looks. That tube, does that actually have coolant in it, or is it just a tube that's
No,
on there?
yeah, it that's the flow path.
That's pretty cool.
Yep. The only thing that I'm disappointed is it's just red. So like it's all really cool. It's got the glow that comes out of the center of it, but it's
Yeah.
only available in red. So if you're not working with a red theme, this isn't gonna really work for you. But other than
Gotcha.
that, it's awesome.
Yeah, well, maybe like it was kind of just like their test, and then maybe in the future they can have different colors, you know.
Yeah, it's possible.
Definitely cool looking cooler. One of the cooler ones that
we've seen. You gotta applaud them for that, for sure. Yeah.
So we'll move on from that and go to a review that I've been trying to get done for a couple weeks now. Intel's latest desktop processor, the Core i7-5775C. This is their latest Broadwell processor, Broadwell for desktop. And I do like the processor. For those who are, for those who aren't using integrated graphics, it's kind of doesn't make a lot of sense. I think one, it comes out at a weird time. It just came out, and we have Skylake right around the corner. And two is that it's a proof of concept really for Intel. Yeah. Just for the fact that this has the Iris Pro graphics in it and everything like that. And that's great. That's really awesome for people who are doing integrated graphics. I mean, this kind of eliminates the people who are buying $100 to $150 graphics cards. This more or less eliminates that.
Yeah, this performs at what, the level of, did I say a 70, say a 780?
I don't know.
Or is that too high?
That's a little too high. Okay. But it performs really well. I mean, when you think about integrated graphics, which compared to like Haswell integrated graphics, like on the 4770K, it's almost more than double the performance. Nice. So again, if you're playing lower end games, anything like Counter-Strike Source, you can obviously put the settings down on that. MOBA games where it's not using a lot of graphics power, this is a great thing. It's extremely low power. The power difference is just insane too, so I think that's what we're gonna see a lot of that in the future. So it just comes at a really weird time. It's not something that I can say, hey, if you have a 3770K, it's just better to wait for Skylake. And if you're not doing integrated graphics, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But it's really cool to see all that stuff. And when you go in and you want to mess around with the power settings, there's so many different power settings that you can kind of mess around with and change around.
Change the way it performs.
Yeah, you can change the way it performs. It also has 128 megabytes of EDRAM. And this is kind of like a new thing that's built into this. So that's like an L4 cache that's more or less used for the graphics, the onboard graphics on it. So
it doesn't have to ship that out to the regular system memory and then back in.
Yeah. So, but what it does is that you can overclock that.
Nice.
But the thing is that it's not ready. the motherboard that I was testing on, which was an Asus board, didn't even have, like, on Asus's website, the BIOS that they have up didn't even support the overclocking. Like, I had to go directly through Asus and get a newer BIOS that's not out yet to even enable that option. It just seems like a lot of companies are really preparing for Skylake and they don't care as much about this, I feel.
They don't want to throw very many resources at it.
Yeah, but I mean, this is, again, one thing that you really have to applaud Intel on is the low power. It has performance in the range of Haswell, obviously not their Devil's Canyon chip, but with like less power. It's a 65 watt chip, so very, very low power. If you're building like just something really small or something where you're going to use integrated graphics, this is an awesome solution. And again, it's a proof of concept. I think we're going to see a lot of this in the future.
Okay.
And it really shows what Intel can do on a single chip. Nice. The desktop application is only for lower end systems where you're not having integrated graphics, I feel.
Okay.
But if, think of the whole, like, AIOs, like the all-in-ones or something like that, this would be the perfect solution for that.
How was it for overclocking?
It overclocked pretty well. It's very power conscious. Like, if you mess around with the power settings, it reacts a lot differently.
Really?
Because there's the reason it's so low power is because there's certain power modes, and like if you just like on stock, it will only boost for a certain amount of time unless you change the power settings and all this kind of stuff.
Okay.
So it's very sensitive to changes. It overclocked decently. I forget what I got it up to. I think 4.4 4.3, I believe, is what I got it up to.
Okay.
Which isn't bad.
On AIO?
Yeah, or no, on an AIO.
Okay.
Yeah, so I got it up to 4.3 pretty easily. I assume if I spent a lot more time on it, I could get it up a little bit higher. I think a couple people got it up to 4.5.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, it's not bad, but again, it's not.
I was expecting really high clocks considering the low power consumption, but it sounds like it's only low because it's kind of a software tweak.
It's not as much a software tweak, but it's just the processor is just made for that type of thing.
Okay.
There's extremely low power modes built into it as well. A lot of people will say it's more or less it's a mobile processor. You know, like for a laptop,
yeah.
It's kind of was built into a desktop processor, so you have all of those power saving modes and all that kind of stuff.
That makes sense then.
Yeah. So I think this is kind of where Intel's going, which kind of makes sense because power consumption has become a really big thing for a lot of people. And, you know, I think they'll have their higher-end desktop units, which we'll see with Skylake, that don't really care about power.
Yeah,
because it's made to run in the desktop. But I think, again, this is just a proof of concept for the Iris Pro graphics and what they can really do.
This could be great for a big box, you know, PC. Go to Best Buy and pick up something with this in it, and you can do a lot with it.
Yeah, and even for like a home theater PC, you know, with that graphics can run everything fine.
Yeah.
And again, even like Steam machines, something like that, where you won't, you know, you're just playing, you know, like arcade style games through Steam, or you know, MOBA games where you're not using a lot of graphics power. This could be perfect for that.
Right on.
So yeah, so I did like it. Like I said, it was a pain in the ass at the beginning because I didn't have a good BIOS. And again, it's just you really have to make sure that the motherboard that you're using will, you know, the BIOS will be up to date and everything like that.
Fully supported.
Yeah. But I think they're pushing out updates pretty quickly. At least Asus was. It's just, you know, it had been out already and you kind of expect that. But I think it's just being slowly adopted. So yeah.
Yeah,
but yeah, I did like it. We'll move on to my favorite review of the week, which was a product that
Wait, what? Mine wasn't your favorite review, Bob?
No. But I went out and I needed to get a new test bench because I was building a system to test graphics cards, and I was looking around and I decided to go with the Lian Li PCT80. That's their latest test bench, and it's actually a lot of fun because you have to build it. It comes in, it's made of aluminum panels and all that, so you have to kind of build it. And I think with anything these days, like, you know, if you build something, you kind of have more respect for it, or, you know, it's a whole different feeling, I guess.
Yeah, you feel more involved with it.
Yeah, it was kind of cool. It was like a little project that I kind of did. So I kind of liked it for that aspect. But as a test bench, it's actually really, really good as well. It should serve its purpose quite well for us. It's one of the only ones, except for the I think it's the Demas Tech bench. Between this one and that one, they both support water cooling.
Okay.
So I actually installed a Corsair H80i GT,
yeah,
on there, which is a very thick radiator, and it still fit quite easily. And this test bench has a ton of room for hard drives. It supports XL ATX motherboards as well, so
nice.
Any big motherboard out there will fit on here. Full-size graphics cards, full-size power supply, and there's a lot of different accessories that you can buy for it, too, to add even more functionality. But it's $159. That's a little bit more on the expensive side, but again, it's all aluminum panels, so when you pick it up, it's pretty light. It looks awesome, too. I have it sitting here beside me now, and it looks awesome.
Well, it's a Lian Li product. They're always really, really high quality.
Yeah, it's really high quality. Again, it's to build it, it took me about a half an hour, I think.
That wasn't bad.
Yeah, it's not really bad. Just following the directions. Directions are actually pretty good. Not the best, but if you've built anything, it's kind of easy to follow.
Yeah.
You know, but when it comes to installing like a radiator or something, you kind of have to think it out because the space is a little limited. But it's still pretty good. And for what I'm using it for, as far as graphics cards, I can easily swap out a graphics card. For people who want to swap out motherboards, all of the standoffs are thumb screws, so it's pretty easy to take those out as well.
Yeah, that's cool.
So
It
yeah.
looks like the top flips up then, and you have access to the GPU
Yeah, so
with
the
your AAO still connected.
all of the panels, all three of the panels can actually be like you pull them out and then you push them up and you can kind of angle them up to do that. But actually I can install graphics cards without even having to move that top panel.
Oh, that's good.
But if I needed, like, say, like I was getting like a Fury X that I need to install a radiator or something, like I can move that panel up and go ahead and do that. And the thing is, too, is that there's enough room that I can install another 120 millimeter radiator on the opposite side.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
So if I, you know, if we were reviewing, say, like a Fury X or some card that had a built-in radiator, we could go ahead and do that. So again, that's the purpose that I went out and bought it for, and I really liked it. Just a all around great. It's just a cool project to do, and
Yeah.
for a test bench, I'm pretty happy with it. The only other one test bench I reviewed was just a few years ago. I reviewed the high-speed PC Tech Bench, which is still really good. I'm going to be using that for motherboard reviews, just for the fact that the standoffs aren't really like standoffs. They're just like these pieces of plastic that you set the board down into. It just makes
Okay.
it really easy to swap out
Oh,
boards,
yeah.
extremely easy to swap out boards. So yeah, but this is a really awesome test bench. I want to try to get in like one of the Microcool ones or the Demas Tech benches to see what they're all about as well.
Just for some comparison.
Some comparison, and it's always good to have a test bench. So yeah, we'll move on to that, and then the
Nice.
final review of the week is another pretty cool product. It's from D-Link. It's their Wi-Fi smart plug, and this is all about like the connected home thing.
Yeah.
And I feel connected home's pretty cool. I haven't really messed around with that type of stuff really.
I did it a little bit, but only with a range extender. It was okay. It didn't work out well for in my particular situation, but
Yeah. So
I know they do work.
what this is, it is a plug. It's a power plug that you just plug into anything, and it's Wi-Fi enabled, and it's a smart plug. So what it does is that one, you can intelligently turn it on or off. Which is kind of
Nice.
cool. So you can, instead of hitting a switch somewhere or whatever, you can just turn it on. With your mobile
What's your,
device or
yeah.
whatever. I believe you can set schedules, you can do all that kind of stuff. So that's really cool. It also tracks the power that whatever's plugged into it is using.
Nice.
And then for people who, again, as we just talked about with the Intel processor, power consumption and power efficiency is something that a lot of people are taking into consideration these days. If you just look at the power supplies that we have, the certifications and all of that,
Yeah.
it's a big deal. And with this, you can track power and everything like that. It's pretty cool. There's a lot of different things you can do with it, which Jack went into in the review. And obviously it works with iOS and Android,
Can you, is it connected to your home network and then you can like remotely turn it on and off?
I believe that you can.
That's, yeah, because that's a really cool feature.
Yeah, I believe almost all of this stuff you're able to do that. Yeah, you can I'm just looking at it now. Yeah, you can access it from your outside your network. So
Okay.
That's kind of cool too. So like say, you have I don't know, air conditioner hooked up to it or a heater hooked up to it or something like that, and you're on your way home, you can just log in and turn it on,
Yeah.
and then that will turn on your air conditioner, so when you get home your place is cool, or vice versa, your place is
Yeah.
warm, or something like that. It's just a
Or if
really
you're on
cool thing.
vacation, you can switch your lights on.
Yeah, or you're having a girl over and you want to set the mood, and you can kind of like hit the go
Yeah.
on your phone and be like, hold on a minute, and then
You
be like,
arrive and it's just all ready to go.
yeah, or like, be like, let me put on the mood lights, and you just hit the thing on your phone. It's cool because you can add a bunch of these to your house and really control everything, and you can obviously track power consumption. I think you can actually look at temperatures as well.
Okay.
And different things like that. So it's actually really cool. Again, you can set schedules as well. It's a really cool thing. I believe it's around $40 for the plug.
Yeah.
Which will get you started in this kind of thing, and if you like it, you can obviously purchase more.
Yeah.
But it's a really cool thing. I think connected home is something that it's been like, kind of started a few years ago, and we see a lot of products now that are all about the connected home.
Yeah. CES was full of them
Yeah, so
this past
it's a
year.
really big thing. I haven't adopted it because I just don't. For me, it just I don't see the. I
It's
don't. It's.
for me it's like it's kind of a lot of money for to be able to do those things, I guess.
It's sort of like a novelty, I think, yeah, right exactly. now. I think that, you know, there's a lot of products out that are, like, I, you know, like, the Nest, I considered getting that. That was actually pretty cool. But, you
it
know.
Seems to me like this sort of thing will be integrated into our products as we purchase them in the future.
Yeah, I think, you know, you're buying a new home, this will all be built in, or yeah. something like that. You know,
it's definitely the future. I mean, it's sort of sci-fi now, but I think that unless you're really into being like having just tech everything, it might be just a little early.
Yeah, but it's still pretty cool, I feel, and it's just it shows you the possibilities.
Yeah, it's
and again for $40, you can check it out and see if you like it and see if it's something that you kind of wanna, you know.
Yeah, get into yeah. mess around with
for sure. So, that was our last review of the week. So, 4 pretty good reviews. We'll move on to Case Mod Friday, which is today, since it is Friday.
It is Friday.
And Case Mod Friday is a section on the site where each Friday we kind of highlight a build or a mod that has been completed in the community. It kind of just shows off what people can do with PC hardware. And I love it. I know Derek loves it. Oh, it's yeah. just a really cool thing that we do. And it lets us kind of check out what's going on in the community. And, of course, we could get to highlight people's builds. And this one we have this week, I saved it. I was going to do it last week, but I saved it for you, Derek. It's called the Midlife Crisis. And, you know, we reviewed that test bench this week. And this guy reviewed – or not reviewed, but he used a test bench in this.
Yeah.
And basically, I would like to call it a monstrosity of a build.
It is.
Because it's, like, the most overdone it's the most overdone system I've seen as far as, like, water cooling and everything. Like, everything on it is water cooled.
Yeah, it's kind of, like, old school, the level of water. Like, it used to be that everything got... It was like, what can we put a water block on, you know? Like, let's put a water block on everything. And then people kind of were like, oh, well, that doesn't need one and that doesn't need one. But he put one on everything.
Yeah, it's a test bench, and he actually did some pretty cool mods to the test bench. Like, he modded the top so like the motherboard could be centered. He put these really cool fan shrouds on the radiators as well. I'm sure you can see that too. And the level of water cooling is just out of control. Like it just looks like it looks like a mad science project, and that's I mean that in a good way. Like it just looks crazy. Yeah. When I first saw this, I was like, this guy's nuts. you know, but it's so cool, and you know the. Just how he just went out of control with the water cooling. Like, there's water cooling blocks on hard drives.
Yeah.
You know?
And nobody does that anymore.
Yeah, so it's just, like, it's insane. I think he has 2 420-millimeter radiators in there.
Yeah, he's got the XSPC stands, which I actually reviewed on the AX series, I believe. He's got 2 of those on off to the side.
Yeah.
Like, connected with quick disconnects. And then he's got the 2 radiator, 2 360s, I believe, on either side of the test bench. That's and it's 2 loops. He's got 2 pumps in the bottom of it. And let's see, he's got, like, he's basically built the, I think, oh, well, it's 1 hard drive and then, like, the CPU and the rest of the motherboard on 1. And then he's got the another hard disk drive and the GPUs. And what was it he has in the middle? I think he might have... Shoot, where'd the picture go? He's got a block in between the cards.
I was
thinking it might be... it might be for the chipset. Motherboard chipset. Probably.
Oh,
it's like sandwiched down in between there. You gotta like really there's a ton of really good pictures too.
He has the he has everything on the motherboard is water cooled as well. So he has the memory, CPU, the VRMs, I would assume the PCH which you were talking about that's kind of smashed down in there.
Yeah.
Like everything on this is water cooled. It's crazy. And if you look at the one picture of the CPU, he actually put little heat sinks, like little mini heat sinks.
Like the old school graphics cards heat sinks.
Yeah, he put those on there in their color.
Yeah.
It's just like it looks crazy, but like if you look into the pictures, like the amount of detail on this is just nuts.
Yeah.
And
go ahead.
No, it's just the amount of detail is just crazy, and the You know, he, if you go, we linked to the build log. If you go in, he really thought out what he wanted to do. It's not just like he put this together and just things kept no. being added on. Like, he really had this idea in his head. And the funny thing is that he wanted something that he said was easy to maintain. I don't know how this is easy to maintain.
No, he's like, I like to swap out cards and stuff. And I'm like, you can't swap out anything on this. You've got rigid tubing.
Yeah.
I mean, other than quick disconnects on the... on the radiators, nothing on this looks easy.
Yeah, I think he just went overboard. But it's yeah. still, again, it's still really... I just really like this one. It's different. It's not often you see a specific case mod on a test bench.
No.
Because a test bench is used for a test bench.
Yeah, and it's usually kind of ugly.
Well, the thing is, too, is a test bench, you're changing out hardware, so that yeah. it's kind of pointless to run a full loop, maybe on the CPU. Mm-hmm. But on graphics cards and stuff, it kind of doesn't make sense. And if you're testing graphics cards, you're obviously not using custom cooling solution anyways.
Yeah.
You know, so it's again, it's not often we see a mod on a test bench. So definitely, yeah. definitely check this out. It's just crazy.
Never one like this either. Cause I've seen them. They're usually very subtle.
Yeah.
Like, oh, they like try to hide the water cooling, but this is just like,
it's all
here's every single thing you can put on a computer.
Yeah, it's awesome. I really like it.
He's got, I believe he's got a hard disk drive and a solid state drive and a hotspot bay on it as well. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, everything is just nuts on this thing. So really, really cool. Definitely take some time and check that one out. And we'll move on to our news this week. And not a whole lot of news this week. Kind of seemed kind of a boring week, but we do have a lot of AMD
yeah.
news. So we'll start out with AMD this morning, actually, just announced their Radeon R9 Fury. We've been hearing about it all week. This is the second Fury card to be announced. It was a couple weeks ago. We had the Fury X, which was the flagship, and now we have the R9 Fury. And the biggest thing about this is that, one, it's a cut-down version, so they enabled 56 of the 64 GCN compute units. So you have 3,584 stream processors, 224 TMUs, 64 ROPs, and of course that same 4 gigabytes of HBM memory. It's clocked at 1,000 megahertz, and the memory is clocked at 500 megahertz. So the coolest thing about this is that it's going to be offered in custom designs. So, you know, the Fury X was only available through AMD, and you got one design, and that was it.
Yeah.
If you want to do anything different, the only thing you could get would be a water block for it. So with yeah. this, we'll see a bunch of different designs. The ones that were already announced today were the Sapphire card. So they have a Tri-X solution. And then Asus has their Strix line will have a R9 Fury. So it's a cut-down version. It's been interesting to see what people do with this as far as custom designs, custom board designs as well will be allowed yeah. to. So we might see some really... different overclocks and things like that. It all depends. I think later down the line, in a few weeks or maybe in a month, we'll see some pretty crazy overclock cards and everything like that. And maybe somebody might take a stab at overclocking the memory. Nobody's really done that yet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's you're unable to overclock the memory yourself as far as software on the Fury and Fury X. So be interesting to see if any manufacturers kind of take a stab at that and doing it hardware wise so
yeah
we'll definitely have to see we'll definitely have to see how cooling goes as well. I know it's a cut down version of the Fiji silicon, but still with air cooling we'll see how well it does. I'm sure there'll be reviews up today or tomorrow. Probably this week we'll see about, or you know, this upcoming week we'll see a bunch of reviews. We'll see how it does.
The price. What do we think about the price?
$549
seems.
That's
maybe high. I don't know.
What's the Fury X at?
$650
So it's $100 difference.
Think.
Yeah. What's the 980 and 980 Ti price? I think the 980 is $549. Is it not?
Yes, the Fury is $649. The 980 is in that price range, but something tells me it's going to be faster. The 980 will be faster.
I think this is supposed to sit between the 980 and 980 Ti. In between that, again,
performance wise,
it was released today.
Yeah, about $500 for a 980.
Yeah, so it was released today. So we don't have any reviews, and we don't have any performance really, except for what AMD released, which you can't really. Take that.
So
I would say
it didn't play out well for the Fury X.
Yeah, I would say wait and see. And I would say wait wait for your favorite card to come out, because this is one that's going to have custom cards. So if you're waiting for that Lightning from MSI or the ROG series from Asus or something like that, I would go ahead and wait for those cards to come out. They're going to be better clocked. And once, you know, this matures and everything, you'll see a lot more stable and it kind of optimized and everything like that. So I would just say, if you're looking to get this card, I would wait for the card that you want. Because they will be coming out. All the manufacturers are allowed to do any custom design they want. And that not only includes the cooling, but they'll do custom PCB, you know, with a pretty, mm-hmm. pretty hefty VRM design and all that kind of stuff. So
more power.
Yeah. So I would just, I would wait for the card that you want. And again, we just wait for the reviews as well. You can see how well it does compare to a 980, you know.
Yeah. I'm sure it'll be below TI. TI is priced more at the X.
Yeah, yeah. So it would definitely be... I think it's going to... From what people were saying, the performance is between the 980 and the 980 TI. So they might hit a sweet spot that's right between.
Yeah, at which point the price will make sense.
Yeah, and which I think that's why it's priced like that.
Okay.
So we'll have to see. Definitely wait for reviews to come out. I haven't seen any. I haven't really checked any websites. Let me check a couple websites. But obviously, we didn't review one.
Okay. I'd like to see it. I honestly still, even if it's like priced like correctly, from AMD, I would still like to see it more down towards 500. Like, just, even though it's probably faster than 980 Ti or 980 slightly, I'd still like to see it actually cheaper, because I think that will really help them sell. Because they really need to get as many of these into the hands of consumers as possible, I feel.
Right
now is like, it feels like critical for them to me.
I'm gonna look at the 4K benchmark. So our friends over at Tweaktown, they have one. Okay. They reviewed the Sapphire card, the Tri-X card. Compared to 980. Well, it does not perform that great.
No.
It's getting beat by a 970.
Oh,
it's getting beat by a 970 amp from Zotac, but I'm trying to. They don't have a regular,
like a stock cooler.
And this is only in Battlefield. I'm looking at. Hold on, let me grab Grand Theft Auto 98. They don't have a stock. See, it was crazy. So Grand Theft Auto 5 at 4K mm-hmm. resolution, a 290X is beating it by 2 frames a second. Yeah. It's kind of weird.
I wonder, is it the newest? We're going to talk about it in a minute, but is it the newest drivers?
Yeah, the drivers just came out. So
so they should be, like, perfect for it.
Yeah, so it's interesting just because, like, the 390X performs better in Battlefield 2 at 4K. By a couple frames, but still, that's kind of odd.
Yeah.
Let me see. Let me just go to the end of the review. Let's see.
Man, how frustrating would that be as you're reviewing it and you're like, we must be doing something wrong.
Yeah, every time I do something and it like doesn't perform, I'm like, wait, I'm doing something wrong, because you always like miss that one setting.
Yeah.
They gave it like a decent... I'm trying to read this. I'd have to look at it more. I just looked at the 4K benchmarks. I didn't look at the other ones.
So it did better.
I don't know. Hold on, let me go back.
I think
let me look at 1080p.
I believe the Fury X did better at 1080p as well. Oh no, I don't know. It was vice versa. The Fury X did better at 4K.
This kind of seems different. So at Battlefield 4 at 1080p, this beats everything. Except for like a 980 Matrix Platinum from Asus, which is overclocked anyways. It beats everything. Yeah, let me see.
Does it beat the TI?
No.
Okay.
And the 390X, the Sapphire's Tri-X R9 390X beats it in Grand Theft Auto by 7 frames per second.
So at 1080p?
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Oh boy.
Again, I would wait. I'm just skimming over this, so because we're obviously on the podcast. So
yeah.
It's like I can take time to actually read this whole thing. But yeah, our friends over at Tweaktown have a review. I would check it out. I'm sure there's be more popping up today. from all a lot of sites. So I would go through and kind of see what it does before you go buy it. It, like I said, it was just announced an hour ago, so we don't have a lot of info on it as far as performance goes. So definitely just do your homework. And of course, if you're buying a product like this, I'm sure that's what you're doing. So definitely check out the reviews and see what it's all about.
Yeah.
So we'll move on from that. And we were just talking about the drivers. For the first time in 212 days, AMD finally released a WHQL signed Catalyst driver. So they've been releasing beta drivers for forever.
Yeah.
But none of them were like an official driver. So they finally released one yesterday. I think it was yesterday.
They finally got one that works completely.
Yeah, so this is their first WHQL driver in 212 days. It added support for the Radeon R9 300 series and the R9 Fury. And all this also adds optimizations and different things. And it adds WDDM 2.0 support, so you can use these cards with Windows 10. Yeah, so it's kind of weird. So typically with NVIDIA, we see a signed driver. How often do you feel?
Jeez, it's got to be almost monthly.
Yeah, or something like that. We always see a new driver come out.
Pretty much anytime a huge AAA title comes out, you'll get a new driver.
Yeah, you get a new driver. It's, you know, and the thing is that AMD has been releasing drivers, but they're all beta drivers, and they're kind of hard to find on the website too. It's kind of weird.
And they don't ever seem to work correctly.
Yeah, so they've, you know, hopefully maybe this will be a start, and they're like, okay, we have to support our community, because the biggest thing is that when you get a new game and you have an AMD card, it might not work correctly. You know, you might have issues. Like, it's just not, they've always had driver issues, so maybe they're taking the time to be like, okay, you know,
build better drivers.
Or this could be like the only WHQL driver they have, and then we'll wait almost another year, and then we'll see the next one. You know, I really hope that's not the case with this. But it's good to actually see a real official driver come out.
It is, indeed.
And then hopefully we'll see, you know.
See, the part that gets me though is your last line. Frame rates have been increased in Far Cry 4 and Tomb Raider. Those games have been out for how long now?
Yeah.
And you're just now seeing a frame rate increase from drivers? Are you kidding?
Yeah.
That's sad.
Yeah, so hopefully maybe they've kind of like, okay, we got to get this going. You know, we always kind of wish for the best for AMD, and it kind of seems like it just gets disappointed at times. So
it feels like wishing.
Yeah, yeah. So, and we have one last piece of AMD news for this week, and that they stopped their development of the Mantle API, which is kind of weird. I feel because Mantle actually did really it
worked.
It worked, and it showed that it outperformed DirectX 11. You know, but with DirectX 12 coming out at the end of what, this month or no, coming soon? Windows 10. I forget the Windows 10 launch date, but with Windows 10, you will get DirectX 12. You know, a lot of people were saying that you know, Mantle, the whole idea was that Microsoft would introduce certain optimizations that they had reserved for consoles, that they would introduce those in DirectX 12. So maybe that's the reason why they're like, okay, well, we got them to do that, so we don't need this Mantle thing anymore.
Yeah, but do you really see AMD spending that kind of money on Mantle just to get Windows to do something?
I don't know. But the thing is, the thing that I don't understand about them stopping it was like, if especially when it was announced with like Battlefield 4 was like Mantle optimized, was like, okay, that's the reason I want an I want an AMD card.
Exactly.
Like, now there's no reason. Like, this is like again this is like one of the reasons that you wanted to, like, especially when it was announced and when they were, you know, they made this huge thing about it. Whatever thing where they were announcing a card, like 90% of the presentation was Mantle, like literally, like,
because it was like this like groundbreaking thing for them, like, hey, we have something that's better than NVIDIA for once, like, here is a solid reason why, because your games will just be faster on our cards because of this thing. And now they're like, no, we don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah, so I don't know if it was just like it's a money issue, we're not really sure. But yeah, that's just done.
2 years old.
2 years, and that's all they did. So, I think that they're gonna use a lot of what was used in Mantle for their virtual reality stuff that they're working on. But it's just kind of weird. It's kind of sad too, because again, Mantle was a reason to get a AMD card, especially if the game that was like the game that you wanted supported it. That was the big thing. So I don't know.
It's just now they're back to even.
Yeah.
So. Only slower.
Yeah. So who knows?
Good luck to AMD's next adventure.
Yes. So we'll move on from that. And Asus showed off 3 brand new GeForce GTX 980 Ti cards this week. They had I'm not sure where this event was. It was somewhere overseas, but they were showing off a lot of new products. And they showed off 3 cards that weren't out yet. So the first one is the Asus ROG Matrix GTX 980 Ti. So this is their ROG Matrix series that's been out for a long time now. It is just a sleek card. New shroud design, it feels awesome.
Yeah, it's really, really good. Cards.
We have all the pictures up, so you can definitely take a look at it. Now, this card isn't out yet, and they didn't reveal the clocks. We assume it's going to be one of the highest clocked GTX 980s from Asus. It's going to be clocked very, very high.
Yeah.
It looks awesome. The Matrix, the whole Matrix series has been one of their best performing series when it comes to graphics cards as well. So it's just an awesome looking card.
Yeah, what we expect, custom PCB, right?
All of these are custom PCBs.
Extra power, extra everything.
Yeah, extra power, extra everything. All of their high-end components are going to be put on these cards as well. Definitely an awesome card to check out. One, which I think is a really cool card that doesn't get a lot of press, I feel, is their Poseidon series. So this was, I forget when Poseidon was actually first launched, maybe a couple years ago, but it's a hybrid card. So it actually has a full water block on it, but it actually has fans as well. Mm-hmm. So you can actually connect it to your custom loop if you want, or you can just run it on air. You can do either or both, I think.
It's kind of really nice if, like, okay, so you've got a loop, you run it on a loop, but then you need to do some maintenance or something, and your loop's going to be down. Card still works.
That's the coolest thing about this card is that it will run on air if you want it to. That's just one of the cool things. It looks really cool. This is a factory overclock at a 1,114 megahertz core, and it boosts up to 1,203 megahertz. I like the whole idea of it. As you said, you know, you can run it on air if you want, or even if, like, say you think you're going to get into water cooling, you can buy this card, run it on air, and then when you build your loop, you can connect it.
Slowly work your way into it.
Yeah, especially, like I said, if money's a concern, you know, you don't have the money for a loop yet or whatever, and you can buy this card, run it on air, and then as you buy parts and get things going, you can kind of incorporate it into that. Very, very cool.
Yeah. This should have the smart fan speed where it won't run the fans if it's cool enough, I would assume.
I think that's only on their Strix series. Not specific.
It'd be really cool to see on this, because then the fans won't run when it's water cooled.
Yeah, I'm not actually sure. Because I know the big thing with the Strix series is that it has the 0 dB technology.
Yes, that's what it is.
And I think they're limiting that to Strix only.
Okay.
As like a selling point, but I don't know. There wasn't a whole lot of information released on these cards besides the clock speeds and what they look like.
Well, hint, Asus, I'd like to see that feature on this card.
Yeah, so they might have it on that card because that would make sense, you know?
Yep.
But not exactly sure. And then finally we have, I feel it's the coolest looking.
I really, really, really like this card for no reason.
So this is their GTX 980 20th Anniversary Gold, or 20th Anniversary Edition Gold Platinum. Yeah. And so Asus recently celebrated 20 years of building graphics cards, which is actually pretty cool. If you think about that's a long time in the when it comes to, you know, PC hardware. So they made a 20th anniversary card, which is more or less the same as the Matrix card, but the shroud is black with gold accents, and it has an awesome gold backplate. This is 20th anniversary on it. Of course, being from Pittsburgh, I love anything black and gold. But no, this just looks awesome. It's a really cool card, and we talked about it maybe a month ago. We talked about how Asus.
Yeah, I think we saw. Didn't we see a render of it or something?
Yeah, we saw a render of it, but we also talked about how Asus was building. This was the 20th anniversary card. It's the first card that they used their new manufacturing technology.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So this is the first card that uses that. This is awesome. We assume it's going to either be clocked the same as the Matrix or higher, because it's just like their highest end
Yeah, might be
card.
just a little bit higher, but it'll probably be very, very close.
Yeah, ASUS needs to send me one of these because I want one. It just looks awesome. Like the backplate is just the gold is just awesome.
Yeah,
It just looks really, really cool.
it's a slick card,
Yeah.
and it's 20th anniversary. That'll be like a collector's thing, probably. How limited do you think it'll be?
Not so limited. It's not going to be like the what was that? The I can't think. MSI made a lightning card that they only made like 13 of. So I mean, they'll have a pretty high run of these, at least 1,000, if not more than that, I think. I don't
So
know.
you can
There's
get one
no.
as long as you get on getting it, you can probably get one.
Yeah,
Don't
they'll.
wait around, but
Yeah, it hasn't been. I don't think this is out yet either.
right.
So these are just the ones that they showed at this event that aren't out yet. So definitely some cool 980 Ti's coming from ASUS. So if you're interested in a 980 Ti, take a look at these ones. They should be out very soon. They haven't been announced when they're going to be available yet, though. But in the next, probably in the next month. So if you're looking to get a new card, you might want to wait for one of these three.
Yeah, watch the news for this.
Yeah, for sure. And we'll talk about NVIDIA. So we talked about it last week. You weren't here. You were on your little camping adventure. But we talked about that NVIDIA might be launching two entry-level cards. It turns out they're going to be, it's been confirmed that they're going to be launching one card. It will be the GeForce GTX 950. This will be the second revision of Maxwell on their entry level. So if you remember, the first Maxwell card was actually the entry-level card. This will be the kind of, this is like Maxwell 2.0. So this is around the $100 to $150 price range entry level graphics card. It's going to take on AMD's was it their 370 series. So yeah, we don't know that much. We just know it's in the works. It will have a 2 gig version and 4 gig versions. It looks like yeah. We don't know the difference. It's going to be we assume it's going to be based on a cut down version of the GPU that's in the GTX 960.
So just slightly slower, probably.
Yeah, so just slightly slower. And it's going to have the same outputs, three DisplayPort, HDMI, and DVI. That's all we really know. There's not a whole lot we know about this card yet because not a lot has been released. But we know it's in the works, so if you are looking to get an entry level card, you might want to wait for this.
It's a decent looking all black card.
Yeah, so I assume it's going to come out soon within the next couple of months. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Maybe get that one to review.
Yeah. So MSI, they finally released their X99A Godlike motherboard. So this is a motherboard that they showed at Computex, which was just it's a badass board. Like for X99 has been out for a while, and usually we see a second revision of X99 boards, and we've seen a couple. We reviewed actually a few revision boards, and this is like the top of the line. Just kick. It is a kick-ass board. There's so many features in this, and there's a lot of features in this board that are going to be seen on upcoming Skylake boards. So this is just the top of the line, highest end motherboard. It has
Everything you can jam on a board.
LEDs all around it that you can change the colors on. Like it's just sweet.
Yeah.
It has like the plastic shroud on a lot of the components.
Yep.
There's so many things in this. It's made for
The
gaming.
networking is amazing.
Yeah, you have the networking on it. You have their pro audio on it. It's just an awesome board. Not only looks good, but it has so many great components inside. It's just awesome.
And it's got the overclock socket, right?
Yeah, it has everything.
Yeah.
Like this has everything that you want on a X99 motherboard. I want to get this to review actually because it's just an awesome board. I should ask them for it. But
Yeah.
yeah, it's just an all around awesome motherboard. I don't know the price. It should be pretty high.
Yeah, probably close to the, what do you think, $400 mark?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
It's gonna rank up there with like the ASUS ROGs type boards.
Yeah.
It's an awesome board. Yeah, definitely go to the website and check it out just to see what this thing even looks like, and then you can check out all the different things that it has
Are
on it.
these renders or pictures? I'm having trouble.
They're pictures.
I believe. Pictures, but they're probably photoshopped just a bit, at least.
Yeah, the second two, I believe, are actual photos.
Okay.
The first one is my P render. The first one's a render.
Okay.
Or it's like the LEDs are rendered. Like, yeah.
Photoshopped on there or something. Yeah. Accentuated.
Yeah.
It looks like a really big board. What size is it?
I believe it's XLETX or EATX.
Okay.
Not sure. But yeah, it's just an awesome motherboard. So that was announced this week. Definitely, if you're looking to get into X99, this is one of the boards to definitely look at for sure.
It's one to run your quad XLI or your quad Crossfire or SLI on.
Yeah, it just
get four 980 Ti's running.
Yeah, and it looks like the spacing's good on that too. So you can do four cards pretty easily on this.
And it probably has the bandwidth to handle it.
Well, yeah.
As close as you can get, at least.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the X99 platform really is for.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely check that out for sure.
Cool.
And then here's some news for you, because I know you're waiting for Skylake to upgrade. Yeah. So all of the launch dates for the processors and motherboards were revealed. It was kind of leaked this week. But it still doesn't give us that much clarification. We just know like the embargo dates,
right,
for the product. So as expected, the Intel Core i7 6700K and the Core i5 6600K, those are two flagship models for Skylake. The embargo date is August 5th. So that's when we don't know if that's when they're going to be like available to buy or whatever, or if that's just when it will be announced in all the information. That's when you're allowed to talk about it, right?
Yeah.
So we're not exactly sure. And then with that, we'll have the Z170 chipset. That will be that embargo date is also August 5th. So
we'll see board reviews, hopefully.
Yeah. Well, at least we'll see all the information. Okay. We don't know if that's going to be when all of the stuff's out yet. It's not exactly sure.
Nothing's very clear.
But you'll see those two processors in the Z170 chipset launch first, and then the rest of the processors in the rest of the chipsets. So yeah. H170, B150, H110, and then the mobile chipsets, the Q170 and Q150, all of those will be launched between August 30th and September 5th. Cool. And the second run of processors, too.
Start out with all the enthusiast level stuff and then move on.
Yeah, I kind of like that, actually.
Yeah, that's much better than waiting for the good stuff.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure you're pretty pumped about that.
Very pumped. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, so you'll be needing an upgrade.
Absolutely. 3770s, headed out.
I think I still have one of those here, a 3770.
Yeah, it was a decent chip. Ran hot, but...
Yeah.
Honestly, I still wish I had my 2600K, but that's another thing altogether.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm pretty excited for Skylake. I'm more excited for the motherboards than the processor.
You know, those Gigabyte boards are pretty sick, so I'm looking forward to those as well.
Yeah, there are going to be a lot of really, really cool boards that come out. Yeah. So we'll have our last tidbit of news for this week, and that is that Samsung will be introducing, or Samsung just introduced, 2 terabyte versions of their 850 Pro and 850 Evo solid state drive. So we talked about this a couple weeks ago about how we're going to see some pretty higher capacity drives.
Yeah.
Going towards the end of this year and going into next year, and this is awesome that you have a 2 terabyte drive now.
Yeah.
From Samsung, and this is the first consumer 2 terabyte drive. So all the other higher end drives that we've seen, I know Intel had a 2 terabyte, and so did SanDisk, but they were more positioned at the enterprise.
Right.
These are consumer drives. So both the 850 Pro and 850 Evo are consumer based solid state drives. These drives have been out. The 850 Pro and 850 Evo have been out for a while. They just added the capacities now.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the pricing is $1,000 for the Pro and $800 for the Evo and the 2 terabyte. So that's a lot less than $1 a gigabyte.
It's 50 cents for the Pro and even less for the Evo.
Yeah, so definitely.
Or 50 cents a gigabyte, I should say.
And Samsung is, a lot of people don't realize, but Samsung's one of the biggest players in the SSD market, actually.
Yeah, they kind of crept up in there. Like, they were not one of the original kind of big names, but I think that they might be one of the strongest at this point after OCZ kind of took a downfall.
And the thing that a lot of people don't realize is everything in the drive, inside the drive, is Samsung made and developed.
Yeah, that's really helpful.
What that does is, if you're developing the NAND and you're developing the controller, means that you can custom write the firmware to perform best with your hardware. So a lot of times we'll see a lot of companies will use, you know, like Micron NAND with a SandForce controller or you know, a Marvel controller or something like that. You know, and they kind of have to work with what will work. Yeah, so with Samsung is that it's all developed by them. Everything in there is developed by Samsung. So that gives them a lot of room with the firmware to kind of change things around and, you know, obviously push out firmware updates for better performance and all that kind of stuff. So Samsung's a huge player in the market. I think one of the top, them and I think SanDisk are the two biggest, maybe?
Yeah, as far as sales.
Yeah, I'm not actually sure who the biggest ones are, but I know they're one of the top, so.
Yeah. I've not owned a Samsung SSD, but I actually think that the time will probably be coming soon for that.
Yeah, I think they're going to drive the prices down. They're such a big company, too, is that they can price aggressively.
Yeah.
Because they're going to push out a lot of these, you know.
I don't think I'm ready to spend $1,000 on a drive of any type, but soon enough we'll see prices that are incredibly realistic.
Yeah, prices are going to go down a lot, especially coming into holiday season, and then obviously going into next year. We'll see a lot of drives, I think, at CES, and we'll see a lot of price difference compared to this year and last year.
How much does the 2 terabyte hard disk drive go for?
Depends on what
it is or what it is. Yeah, I'm seeing prices like, all below $100 though.
Like $74.99, I think, for a mechanical.
So we were talking about an article not maybe a couple weeks ago about price parity between the two.
Yeah.
You really see it going from 1,000 down to?
No, I would say this drive, say like this time next year, this drive will be.
Could we say 500?
I could say less than that.
Less than that?
I really think it's going to drop considerably.
Okay. Because I think a reasonable price, reasonable is kind of relative, but what I would say reasonable for myself to pay, maybe 300 to 400 for 2 terabyte drive.
This drive would be like 350.
You could see paying for it.
Yeah. Okay. But again, we'll see, you know, Santa said they'll have a 16 terabyte drive out before the end of this year or something like that. I mean, that'll
drive things down.
Yeah, the amount of capacity going up tremendously, you'll see the prices go down.
Yeah, because there will be a limit to the top end price that they can even put on the drive, just because people won't pay anymore.
Yeah. So we'll see. Again, going into next year, especially holiday season, we'll see a lot of price drops, and then. Obviously, you know, after CES and everything next year, you'll see a lot of price drops, too.
CES is going to be really exciting with giant drives, I bet.
Yeah, you'll see a ton of that. So, it's kind of exciting. A lot of exciting things coming up, I feel. It was kind of getting a little boring there for a while when it comes to a lot of stuff. But, yeah, definitely. A
little hardware lull.
Yeah, so definitely some cool things coming up, and especially with Skylake launch, and then all the storage thing is really cool, and we'll see a lot of really cool stuff coming up. So definitely exciting time.
Yeah, stay tuned.
Yes, so we'll move on to what we're checking out next week. So I will be taking a look at a really awesome motherboard. ASRock was the first company to. I think the only company. I think that offers an X99 motherboard and the mini ITX form factor.
I do believe they're the only ones still. I didn't think you'd actually get this.
No, this board is tiny.
And feature packed.
Yeah, so it's an X99 board on a mini ITX form factor. It's so tiny, it's crazy. And the actual CPU socket takes up a lot of the board because the CPU socket is massive. The only downfall of this board is that you don't get quad-channel memory. You only have dual-channel just because of the fact that they couldn't fit it on the board. But, I mean, if you're looking to build a crazy gaming system or something like that, you can take the LAN parties. This is the board to do it because you're going to have that awesome processor in there. It has a PCI Express 3.0 16 slot, so you can put the highest-end graphics card in there, like a 980 Ti or something like that you can throw in there.
Tighten that out.
Yeah, so I just installed it yesterday, so I should have it up soon. And we're running all the
Nice.
testing over the weekend, so I'm pretty excited to see how everything does. It comes with its own custom cooling solution, which is an air cooler.
Yep.
And this is the only thing that you can install on this board, which
Are
I
there no aftermarket ones for it?
well the actual socket design is different than the
Right.
typical. I forget what the names of the socket, because the typical one I think is the M socket. That's like
Okay.
the socket that everybody uses, and this one's designed differently so it fits the board.
Yeah.
So like I couldn't use it because typically we do motherboard reviews. We have a Thermaltake Water 3.0, and that's we just use that on everything. But this it doesn't have the right connectors. Like you have to buy a specific thing. So it comes with
Right.
one, but I haven't really tested temperatures or anything like that, which I will.
Yeah.
But it's a really cool board too. It's again, it's super small. It has a ton of great features. It has 802.11 AC Wi-Fi in there. It's just feature packed. It has
Yeah,
dual gigabit Ethernet.
it's a professional chip in an ITX form factor,
Yeah,
so
USB 3.1 on there too.
yeah,
Really cool stuff on there.
nice.
It's awesome.
Oh, there is M.2 on it even.
Yeah, it's like you look at this board, you're like, how do they fit everything in here?
Where is it?
Yeah, it's insane. USB 3.0 header on there. Like there's just so much stuff on here.
That's
It's
awesome.
crazy. Yeah,
I'm looking
so
forward to that for
it
sure.
looks really funny in the t in our test bench because it takes up like no space. It's really really funny.
Yeah.
But yeah,
Sweet.
definitely cool. I'm kind of interested to check that out. Also, we have a graphics card, which is Asus's Strix GeForce GTX 970. We were going to review this a couple weeks ago, but I decided to upgrade everything. We talked about this, I think, last week in the podcast. I talked about it. You weren't here. But we upgraded all of our stuff, and I have a 4K monitor coming in to do graphics card reviews. So we kind of wanted to wait for that before we started to do reviews. So yeah, this is the Strix version of their GTX 970. So it has all the Strix features, the 0 dB technology that we talked about, which obviously only runs the fans. It's kind of cool because I had this card installed already, and it all like it's weird that you're just like the card's on, like the system's on, and like the fans aren't running. You're like,
Something seems wrong.
yeah, it's so weird. But then when you start benchmarking or you open a game up, they turn on. But it's so weird. If you especially because it's in a test bench, so I can see it, you know.
Yeah.
But it's cool because there's no noise. That's kind of a big thing, you know. But of course you can change that all around. You can make them run all the time if you want. It's a really good looking card. Again, I'll be testing all the performance and all of that.
Cool.
So, and then finally, we have the DeepCool Assassin 2 CPU cooler. So this is their kind of their flagship high-end air cooler. This thing is massive. It's a beast. It's huge. So we're expecting really great performance from this. If you're looking to do air cooling, this will be one of the ones
Yeah.
to definitely look at. I will be testing that this weekend, so I really can't talk about performance yet, or installation.
Other than DeepCool air coolers generally perform really well.
Yeah, so we reviewed, I forget which other one we reviewed a while ago, and it was one of the best performing air coolers that we ever tested. So this thing's massive. It's dual tower cooler, two different fans. It's just big. The only thing I'm kind of interested to see is how well installation goes because it is such a big cooler. Sometimes, like
The
Noctua,
rent construction equipment to put it in.
yeah, like Noctua always does really great installation. They've kind of perfected that. So hopefully with this we'll have pretty easy installation, because if not, it will be a kind of a downside. But again,
Yeah.
I harp on that because I install a lot of coolers. But again, if you're installing this, you're going to be doing it once too. So
You can get over the pain of it, maybe.
yeah, so we'll see. We'll have that next week. And we might have some other stuff next week. It all depends on what we get done over the weekend and how the week
Right.
goes. And I don't have any catastrophes or break hardware. So we'll.
Or CPUs that won't behave.
Yeah, so we. Yeah, all there's always issues with stuff. But we'll definitely have some good reviews for you guys next week. Yeah, end of the podcast. We like to talk
Nice.
about, some things we did this week. So, first thing is that a couple weeks ago, you told me about *Halt and Catch Fire*,
Yeah.
which I didn't realize you didn't watch the first season, which is kind of weird. Which is like awesome.
It was just on, and so I watched what I had on demand available,
You
and
have to
it was,
watch the first season.
I
It's
will.
totally it's it seem it's a totally different feel. So *Halt and Catch Fire* is about the PC industry in the early '80s. and I started watching it. It's on Netflix. The first season is on Netflix for anybody who's listening. It's really awesome. It gives you that whole feel about creating a PC and all that kind of stuff. I haven't watched the second season, which you've been watching, I guess.
I'm guessing from what you're talking about, the second season is more about gaming.
Okay, yeah, so the first season is all about building a PC, so it's really cool.
Okay.
If you're into that.
Even more techie?
Yeah, it's more techie. They touch on a lot of real things that are happening, too.
Yeah, that's what's really cool about it.
Yeah, I don't want to ruin a lot of it for you, but the whole thing is that they're building an IBM clone, and back then, IBM was one of the only company you could really get a PC from.
Right, because it was so expensive to design and build.
Yeah, so they designed an IBM PC clone, sort of, and there's a lot of different things that go into it. One of the cool episodes was one, I think it's the second to the last episode of the first season, is they go to Comdex, which used to be an extremely cool, and it was a totally PC-focused trade show. Nice. That was, it started, I forget when it started. I don't know when it started, but it's just like CES, it's held in Vegas and everything. And it's where everything PC was launched, like everything.
Yeah.
Anything PC related, software related was launched there. And it was kind of cool to see because it kind of like the same feeling as when we go to CES. That's kind of how they portrayed it in the show. It's like, you know, it's so big. And they talked about how the parties were where you got all the work done and where you networked and stuff. It's exact same thing as CES, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
It's
cool being in the industry and seeing that it was like that back then, too.
Yeah, for sure. So, but yeah, definitely a really cool show. I'm glad you told me about it, for sure. Yeah.
Yep, definitely check that show out.
Yeah, and then the second thing I did this week is I installed Windows 10 on my main machine, which I'm running right now. I really like it. It is the preview build 10130. It works really well. I like, there's a lot of cool things that I like. You kind of have to get used to it. There's some things that are a little bit different, especially because I'm going from Windows 7 to Windows 10, not Windows 8. I did a complete clean install, which is kind of good. So like, and I upgraded my system a little bit too. I changed the case out. I installed a Corsair H110 IGT in there.
Nice.
Upgraded it. I had a 240 gig SSD upgraded to a 512. Did some cool stuff just to get a nice like little upgrade for me. And then just I wanted a quieter case and a quieter system, so the AIO definitely helps out with that. And then I'm using the Thermaltake Suppressor F51 case, which is made to be quiet as well, so it has sound damping material on it. So it's like I come in here and it's like I don't even feel like I have a computer running.
That's sweet.
Which is kind of nice. But yeah, Windows 10, one of the cool features is, let me see what it's called. It's called Task View. It's really cool. Okay. So you click on it and it like, it's kind of hard to explain it. Like, shows all the windows you have open currently, and then you can like pick one and then it makes that one bigger, so it makes all the windows really small, and then you can like go in and you can like just click on something and it makes that big again. It's kind of hard to explain. It's really cool. And then I haven't messed around with the different desktops yet because you can do different virtual desktops and all that kind of stuff. I literally got it installed like a couple days ago, so I haven't had a lot of time to mess with it, but
still exploring.
And obviously it's not a complete build, but I'm definitely going to keep it on here. That's kind of the reason why I did
it. Yeah, I'll let you play around with that. Let me know how it goes, and then I'll probably move to it.
Yeah, it's just I like it as an upgrade so far.
You feel like you have the same power that you had in Windows 7? Like, Windows 8 made me feel like I couldn't do anything as the user.
Yeah, I can do everything.
Awesome.
There's a little search box at the bottom. You type in anything, and it just comes right up. It has Cortana built in, which I haven't really messed with yet. I did check out it. The version I have does have the Spartan browser, which I use for a second, but I always just install Chrome just because that's me. Well, but
the way Chrome keeps you is it has all of your stuff stored in it. So
yeah. So, but I mean, I did mess around with the Spartan browser. It seems very fast and it's pretty like lightweight, I feel.
Yeah.
So it might be something I just haven't really had a lot of time. I literally installed it installed Windows 10 the other night, and then I had to get all their stuff done because by the time I got Windows installed, by the time I like rebuilt the system, took it out of the old case, put everything back in, I killed a hard drive. Well, I didn't kill a hard drive, but I messed up a hard drive. So I had like all the stuff to do. But yeah, I like it. I think a lot of people, because again, I'm going from Windows 7 because I couldn't stand Windows 8.
Yeah,
So
exactly.
from going from Windows 7 to this, it's just a nice upgrade, I feel. It has everything. Start menu's there. It looks better. Like, just the icons are changed too, which is kind of, it kind of
Kind
just
of
gives,
nice for to have something new.
yeah, it gives you that new feel. There's a lot of different views. For some reason in Windows 7, I have a secondary screen and I couldn't snap things to like the corners.
Oh, really?
Well, you could snap it to the far corner, but you couldn't snap it to the corner that connects to the other
Oh,
screen.
okay, yep.
You can do that on this. There's little things that I'm figuring out. So, it's just pretty cool. I like it.
Sweet.
And everything kind of just like installs. Like, you don't have to do anything.
That was one sort of nice part of Windows 8.
Well, what I
Windows
mean
8
it,
kind of did that.
yeah. So with this is like I didn't have to install any motherboard drivers or anything. It just did it.
Just goes and gets them.
It just did it off the bat. I didn't have to install a networking driver. When I first installed Windows, it just did it. It was just in there. So I didn't, because typically, especially like I review motherboards, I have to install all the drivers. Windows 7 doesn't do it like that.
Yeah.
With Windows 10, everything just gets installed. I didn't have to do anything.
Yeah, you don't have to do the giant security update or
Yeah, it was just,
all of the updates.
it was just awesome. Yeah, definitely. Definitely, and I'm running Corsair Link, which is pretty cool. I haven't really had a system where I actually ran it full time.
Yeah.
So definitely running that with the H100 IGT, and then I just have all my other temperature sensors on everything.
Nice.
Did you do anything besides go camping?
Not really.
Boring
It's
week for
been
you.
just kind of a boring, busy week. Didn't do anything really new, unfortunately.
Gotcha. All
Yeah.
right, well, we'll leave everybody on that note, and until next week, we'll catch everybody later.